The Gospel of Mark, Introduction and Chapters 1 through 5 of the 20th Century New Testament. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by J. A. Carter. www.authenticlight.org. The 20th Century New Testament, by a company of about 20 scholars. The Gospel of Mark, Introduction, and Chapters 1 through 5. Introduction. The Gospel according to St. Mark, compiled at an uncertain date later than 55 A.D. This Gospel contains the earliest and the simplest picture of the ministry of Jesus, but tells nothing of his birth or early life. It appears to be the work of the John Mark, who is mentioned more than once in the New Testament, and to have been compiled from information gathered from the Apostle Peter, whose convert Mark is supposed to have been, as well as from other sources, both written and oral. Of these sources, it is plain that the compilers of the Gospels according to St. Matthew and St. Luke also availed themselves, as well as, in all probability, of a draft of this Gospel. It is evident from the writer's habit of translating Aramaic words and using Latin expressions that his life of Jesus was intended for readers of the Western world, a view confirmed by many interesting traditions of the Western Church. From the absence of much of the teaching of Jesus given in the Gospels according to St. Matthew and St. Luke, it has been inferred that this was not available in a connected form for the compiler of the present Gospel. Chapter 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ. It is said in the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. He shall prepare thy way." The voice of one crying aloud in the wilderness, "Make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And in fulfillment of this, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism upon repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole of Judea, as well as all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, went out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John was clad in clothing of camel's hair, with a belt of leather round his waist, and lived on locusts and wild honey. And he proclaimed, "There is coming after me one more powerful than I, and I am not fit even to stoop down and unfasten his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now about that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens rent apart, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And from the heavens came a voice, "Thou art my Son, the Beloved. In thee I delight." Immediately afterwards, the Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan and among the wild beasts, while the angels ministered to him. After John had been committed to prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus was going along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. "Come and follow me," Jesus said, "and I will set you to fish for men." They left their nets at once and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James, Zebediah's son, and his brother John, who also were in their boats mending the nets. Jesus at once called them, and they left their father Zebediah in the boat with the crew and went after him. And they walked into Capernaum. On the next Sabbath, Jesus went to the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught them like one who had authority and not like the teachers of the law. Now there was in their synagogue at the time a man under the power of a foul spirit who called out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked the spirit, "Be silent. Come out of him." The foul spirit threw the man into a fit, and with a loud cry came out of him. And they were all so amazed that they kept asking, "What is this? Strange teaching indeed. He gives his commands with authority even to the foul spirits, and they obey him." And the fame of Jesus spread at once in all directions through the whole neighborhood of Galilee. As soon as they had come out from the synagogue, they went with James and John into the house of Simon and Andrew. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying ill with fever, and they at once told Jesus about her. Jesus went up to her, and grasping her hand, raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait upon them. In the evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who were ill or possessed by demons, and the whole city was gathered round the door. Jesus cured many who were ill with various diseases, and drove out many demons, and would not permit them to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ. In the morning, long before daylight, Jesus rose and went out, and going to a lonely spot, there began to pray. But Simon and his companions hastened after him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus said to them, "Let us go somewhere else, into the country towns near, that I may make my proclamation in them also, for that was why I came." And he went about making his proclamation in their synagogues all through Galilee and driving out the demons. One day a leper came to Jesus, and falling on his knees begged him to help. "If only you are willing," he said, "you are able to make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying as he did so, "I am willing. Become clean." Instantly the leprosy left the man, and he became clean. And then Jesus, after sternly warning him, immediately sent him away and said to him, "Be careful not to say anything to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and make the offerings for your cleansing directed by Moses as evidence of your cure." The man, however, went away and began to speak about it publicly and to spread the story so widely that Jesus could no longer go openly into a town, but stayed outside in lonely places. And people came to him from every direction. Chapter 2. Some days later, when Jesus came back to Capernaum, the news spread that he was in a house there, and so many people collected together that after a while there was no room for them even round the door, and he began to tell them his message. And some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man who was being carried by four bearers. Being, however, unable to get him near to Jesus owing to the crowd, they removed the roofing below which Jesus was, and when they had made an opening, they let down the mat on which the paralyzed man was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the law who were sitting there were debating in their minds, "Why does this man speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins except God?" Jesus, at once intuitively aware that they were debating with themselves in this way, said to them, "Why are you debating in your minds about this? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take up your mat and walk about'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins on earth." Here he said to the paralyzed man, "To you I say, get up, take up your mat, and return to your home." The man got up and immediately took up his mat and went out before them all, at which they were amazed, and as they praised God, they said, "We have never seen anything like this." Jesus went out again to the sea, and all the people came to him, and he taught them. As he went along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in a tax office, and said to him, "Follow me." Levi got up and followed him. And later on, he was in his house at table, and a number of tax collectors and outcasts took their places at table with Jesus and his disciples, for many of them were following him. When teachers of the law, belonging to the party of the Pharisees, saw that he was eating in the company of such people, they said to his disciples, "He's eating in the company of tax gatherers and outcasts." Hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not those who are in health that need a doctor, but those who are ill. I did not come to call the religious, but the outcast." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were keeping a fast, and people came and asked Jesus, "Why is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, while yours do not?" Jesus answered, "Can the bridegroom's friends fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be parted from them, and they will fast then, when that day comes. No man ever sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse rent is made. And no man ever puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the skins are lost. But new wine is put into fresh skins. One Sabbath, as Jesus was walking through the cornfields, his disciples began to pick the ears of grain as they went along. "Look," the Pharisees said to him, "why are they doing what is not allowed on the Sabbath?" "Have you never read," answered Jesus, "what David did when he was in want and hungry, he and his companions? How he went into the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the consecrated bread, which only the priests are allowed to eat, and gave some to his comrades as well." Then Jesus added, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Chapter 3. On another occasion, Jesus went into a synagogue where there was a man whose hand was withered. And they watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure the man on the Sabbath, so that they might have a charge to bring against him. "Stand out in the middle," Jesus said to the man with the withered hand. And to the people he said, "Is it allowable to do good on the Sabbath or harm? To save a life or destroy it?" As they remained silent, Jesus looked round at them in anger, grieving at the hardness of their hearts, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." The man stretched it out, and his hand had become sound. Immediately on leaving the synagogue, the Pharisees and the Herodians united in laying a plot against Jesus to put him to death. Then Jesus went away with his disciples to the sea, followed by a great number of people from Galilee. And a great number, hearing of all that he was doing, came to him from Judea, from Jerusalem, from Edom, from beyond the Jordan, and from the country round Tyre and Sidon. So Jesus told his disciples to keep a small boat close by, for fear the crowd would crush him. For he had cured many of them, and so people kept crowding upon him, that all who were afflicted might touch him. The foul spirits, too, whenever they caught sight of him, flung themselves down before him and screamed out, "You're the Son of God!" But he repeatedly warned them not to make him known. And Jesus made his way up the hill and called those whom he wished, and they went to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out as messengers to preach and with power to drive out demons. So he appointed the 12, Peter, which was the name that Jesus gave to Simon, James, the son of Zebediah, and his brother John, to whom he gave the name of Boanerges, which means the thunderers, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the man that betrayed him. Jesus went into a house, and again a crowd collected so that they were not able even to eat their food. When his relations heard of it, they went to take charge of him, for they said that he was out of his mind. And the teachers of the law, who had come down from Jerusalem, said, "He has Beelzebub in him, and he drives the demons out by the help of Beelzebub, their chief." So Jesus called them to him and answered them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? When a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot last. And when a household is divided against itself, it will not be able to last. So if Satan is in revolt against himself and is divided, he cannot last. His end is come. No man who has got into a strong man's house can carry off his goods without first securing him, and not till then will he plunder his house. I tell you that men will be forgiven everything, their sins and all the slanders that they utter, but whoever slanders the Holy Spirit remains unforgiven to the end. He has to answer for an enduring sin." This was said in reply to the charge that he had a foul spirit in him. And his mother and his brothers came and stood outside and sent to ask him to come to them. There was a crowd sitting around Jesus, and some of them said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are outside asking for you." "Who is my mother and my brothers?" was his reply. Then he looked around on the people sitting in a circle around him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Chapter 4. Jesus again began to teach by the sea, and as an immense crowd was gathering around him, he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, while all the people were on the shore at the water's edge. Then he taught them many truths in parables, and in the course of his teaching he said to them, Listen. The sower went out to sow. And presently, as he was sowing, some of the seed fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had not much soil, and having no depth of soil, sprang up at once, but when the sun rose, it was scorched, and having no root, withered away. Some of the seed fell among brambles, but the brambles shot up and completely choked it, and it yielded no return. Some fell into good soil, and shooting up and growing yielded a return amounting to 30, 60, and even 100-fold. And Jesus said, "Let anyone who has ears to hear with, hear." Afterwards, when he was alone, his followers and the 12 asked him about his parables. And he said, "To you the hidden truth of the kingdom of God has been imparted, but to those who are outside it, all teaching takes the form of parables, that, though they have eyes, they may see without perceiving, and though they have ears, they may hear without understanding, lest some day they should turn and be forgiven." "You do not know the meaning of this parable," he went on. "Then how will you understand all the other parables?" The sower sows the message. The people meant by the seed that falls along the path are these, where the message is sown, but as soon as they have heard it, Satan immediately comes and carries away the message that has been sown in them. So, too, those meant by the seed sown on the rocky places are the people who, when they have heard the message, at once accept it joyfully. But as they have no root, they stand only for a short time. And so when trouble or persecution arises on account of the message, they fall away at once. Those meant by the seed sown among the brambles are different. They are the people who hear the message, but the cares of life and the glamour of wealth and the cravings for many other things come in and completely choke the message, so that it gives no return. But the people meant by the seed sown on the good ground are those who hear the message and welcome it, and yield a return 30, 60, and even 100-fold. And Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under the corn measure or under the couch, instead of being put on the lampstand? Nothing is hidden unless it is some day to come to light, nor was anything ever kept hidden, but that it should some day come into the light of day. Let all who have ears to hear with, hear." "Take care what you listen to," said Jesus. "The measure you meet will be meted out to you, and more will be added for you. For to those who have, more will be given, while from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. Like a man who has scattered seed on the ground and then sleeps by night and rises by day while the seed is shooting up and growing. He knows not how. The ground bears the crop of itself, first the blade, then the ear, and then the full grain in the ear. But as soon as the crop is ready, immediately he puts in the sickle, because harvest has come." Jesus also said, "To what can we liken the kingdom of God, or by what can we illustrate it? Perhaps by the growth of a mustard seed. This seed, when sown in the ground, though it is smaller than all other seeds, yet when sown, shoots up and becomes larger than any other herb, and puts out great branches, so that even the wild birds can roost in its shelter." With many such parables, Jesus used to speak to the people of his message, as far as they were able to receive it. And to them he never used to speak except in parables, but in private to his own disciples he explained everything. In the evening of the same day, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across." So, leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them just as he was in the boat, and there were other boats with him. A violent squall came on, and the winds kept dashing into the boat, so that the boat was actually filling. Jesus was in the stern, asleep upon the cushion. And the disciples roused him and cried, "Teacher, is it nothing to you that we are lost?" Jesus rose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind dropped, and a great calm followed. "Why are you so timid?" he exclaimed. "Have you no faith yet?" But they were struck with great awe, and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Chapter 5. And they came to the other side of the sea, the country of the Gerasenes. And as soon as Jesus had got out of the boat, he met a man coming out of the tombs who was under the power of a foul spirit, and who made his home in the tombs. No one had ever been able to secure him, even with a chain. For though he had many times been left secured with fetters and chains, he had snapped the chains and broken the fetters to pieces, and no one could master him. Night and day alike he was continually shrieking in the tombs and among the hills, and cutting himself with stones. Catching sight of Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed to the ground before him, shrieking out in a loud voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? For God's sake, do not torment me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of the man, you foul spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" "My name," he said, "is Legion, for there are many of us." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them away out of that country. There was a large drove of pigs close by, feeding on the hillside. And the spirits begged Jesus, "Send us into the pigs, that we may take possession of them." Jesus gave them leave. They came out and entered into the pigs, and the drove, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep slope into the sea and were drowned in the sea. On this, the men who tended them ran away and carried the news to the town and to the country round, and the people went to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the possessed man sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion in him, and they were awestruck. Then those who had seen it related to them all that had happened to the possessed man, as well as about the pigs, upon which they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the possessed man begged him to let him stay with him. But Jesus refused. "Go back to your home, to your own people," he said, "and tell them of all that the Lord has done for you, and how he took pity on you." So the man went and began to proclaim in the district of the 10 towns all that Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed. By the time Jesus had recrossed in the boat to the opposite shore, a great number of people had gathered to meet him and were standing by the sea. And one of the presidents of the synagogue, whose name was Jairus, came, and as soon as he saw Jesus, threw himself at his feet with repeated entreaties. "My little daughter," he said, "is at the point of death. I beg you to come and place your hands on her, that her life may be spared." So Jesus went with him. A great number of people followed Jesus and kept pressing round him. Meanwhile, a woman who for 12 years had suffered from hemorrhage and undergone much at the hands of many doctors, spending all she had without obtaining any relief, but on the contrary growing worse, heard about Jesus, came behind in the crowd, and touched his cloak. "If I can only touch his clothes," she said, "I shall get well." At once the mischief was stopped, and she felt in herself that she was cured of her complaint. Jesus at once became aware of the power that had gone out from him, and turning round in the crowd, he said, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people pressing round you," exclaimed his disciples, "and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus looked about to see who had done it. Then the woman, in fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and threw herself down before him and told him the whole truth. "Daughter," he said, "your faith has delivered you. Go, and peace be with you. Be free from your complaint." Before he had finished speaking, some people from the house of the president of the synagogue came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why should you trouble the teacher further?" But Jesus, overhearing what they were saying, said to the president of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid. Only have faith." And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Presently they reached the president's house, where Jesus saw a scene of confusion, people weeping and wailing incessantly. "Why this confusion and weeping?" he said on entering. "The little child is not dead. She is asleep." They began to laugh at him, but he sent them all out, and then, with the child's father and mother and his companions, went into the room where she was lying. Taking her hand, Jesus said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I am speaking to you. Rise." The little girl stood up at once and began to walk about, for she was 12 years old. And as soon as they saw it, they were overwhelmed with amazement. But Jesus repeatedly cautioned them not to let anyone know of it, and told them to give her something to eat. End of chapters 1 through 5.